Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, everybody, and thanks for listening. I am Lamar with 5280 Esports, and you guys are on listening to Behind the Game podcast. I'm here with Shorzy, also known as Gabriel, correct?
Yes, correct.
So he is a special guest we have on tonight. It's finally good to be back on. It's been a while. I've been sick and I was out of town, so it's great to finally have you on, Shorzy. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I know it's kind of late, but I appreciate you taking the time out.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited. Like, we were just chatting a little bit ago. I'm glad we finally found the time. And you've been busy. I've been busy. So
yes.
Found the time to sit down and have a chat here. And it's going to be fun. I've been looking forward to it. So
excited. I'm excited to have you on tonight. I've gotten to know you a little bit in the past from when I was doing tournaments. And I've seen you grow. And I've been part of your community. And I've seen a lot of your projects that you've done and tournaments and events, and it's been awesome. So for everyone listening, do you mind giving us a little background, who you are, kind of what you do, what your brand is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just for everyone listening.
Yeah, so I'm the owner of Lobby Up Esports, something I created back in 2021. Yeah, summer of 2021. So I had it for just over 2 years now. It started out as like a passion project, something I was doing on the side. Because I was in the Marine Corps at the time. And then as it started to grow, I realized that I could, if I committed to it like full time, I can make it grow a lot faster and a lot bigger. So I ended up doing that. And then for the past year and some change, it's been like my full time job has been organizing esports tournaments, events for like my community, along with helping other like content creators and smaller communities that need help getting certain things lined up, getting things organized in a correct fashion. Just providing that service to both our community and other communities, and it's turned into something awesome. Primarily in the Madden space, we also partner with some other, like I said, we work with other content creators organizations. We've got some awesome partnerships set up with guys like VFL, doing like FIFA stuff, ESFL doing UFC and fighting game stuff, RHG doing 2K stuff and Madden stuff alongside us, and then a bunch of small content creators, which I couldn't even get into all of them. Because we've got tons of working relationships, but a big network of creators and organizers that we work with to put on as many events for the community as possible, give people an opportunity to monetize their skill set, because people will be sitting here grinding the game but not being able to get anything back from it. So do our best to fill that void and give people opportunities to do so.
That's awesome. Well, I'm excited to get into it, to hear more about Lobby Up and kind of what you guys do for different, organizations, different communities. But before we do, give us a little bit of background of, I know you said you were in the Marine Corps, something that was a passion project. How did becoming a gamer, going through the Marine Corps develop into Lobby Up, or how did you come up with the idea?
So it's actually a great question, because it's a great story. So I was pretty hardcore into Madden before I started Lobby Up. And that's obviously the main area that we do our organic events in still. But I was super hardcore into Madden. I made my first MCS event. It was Madden 20 Club Championship is what the tournament was. I was the 3 seed or something for the Xbox side for the Packers Club Championship. I finished in the top 4 or something for that. And I was really hyped up about it. I wanted to keep playing competitively, but I got sent off on a deployment. I got sent to on a MRFD, so Marine Rotation Force Darwin is what it's called. It's basically just a big training exercise, so it's nothing that crazy. But I was away from home. I was out in Australia. I didn't bring my Xbox with me or anything. So I was out there, and this was in start of 2020, I believe. Mm-hmm. So COVID was going on. Or no, it would have been late 2020, I believe. So COVID had been around for a while. So there was all these extra rules in place and stuff in Australia. They're really strict with it. The whole time through, I think they still are pretty strict there. When we got to the country, we had to sit in like a motel room in isolation for 2 weeks and then pass a COVID test after that before you're allowed to like join society. So for 2 weeks, I was locked up in isolation and I was just sitting there wishing I would have brought my Xbox, missing all the boys that I play games with and stuff. And I was thinking about the things that make me love playing video games. Like, well, it's the community aspect. And then I thought about like the competition aspect. I was like, well, we need to combine those. We need to make like a community for people that like this competition to play more often. And I was like, well, there's that exists for a lot of things, but not really for Madden, which is my game of choice. Like, all right, I'll create it. So I started doing that. And it started off small, little projects with $5 buy-in, $30 prize pool, just have 10 people join or so, just small little stuff. And now it's grown into this massive thing. And we have over like $320,000 in all-time prizes paid out. So it's grown massively. And all started from a little quarantine motel in Australia when I was locked up in quarantine. So it's an interesting start to it, but it's definitely turned into something pretty legit.
That's amazing. So when you were in quarantine, then when you came up with the idea of, okay, essentially you wanted to host tournaments, but do them online, right, through a community or through like a community strategy?
The original idea actually was that I wanted to make a directory. I started off the Lobby Up. So the website's lobbyup.net. Originally it was just going to be a directory. So it was just going to be like you click, okay, well, the game I play is Grand Theft Auto. I'm looking for like role-playing. I'm looking for racing. I was just going to have a bunch of servers and community links and whatnot. And I was going about it that way. And then I kind of got a changed direction after I got like halfway through the project, because I kind of saw more of a need in the Madden community, which is like where I had more of a presence. And I was like, let's kind of change gears. And I went towards like just kind of beefing up my own community. And then I decided I would focus on branching from there. So I was like, well, we'll build our own Madden community. And then we'll start branching out to these other sub communities within Madden, talking with different content creators, talking with other organizers that are trying to do similar things, collaborating with them so we can keep on growing our esport. Because that's the most important thing. That's been like one of our hallmarks since the start, is trying to collaborate with as many people as possible, because the more we work together, the greater projects being put together for the actual users, the consumers, and helps all of us grow. So changed course a little bit in the middle and it turned into what it is now. But yeah, it was originally supposed to be just a directory website helping people find all these different communities. And then it changed into something a little bit different. And I really like where it went, because it's turned into something awesome.
Wow. So you started your own community, right, of Madden? And did you just start that through like Discord or social media?
Yeah. So I had a small personal Discord that had like 100 members or so, because I'd been running like small little money leagues on CFM and stuff on Madden. But I hadn't really done a lot for tournaments and stuff. But I had like a community of like 100 people or so that all had trusted me to like run events for them and stuff, hold money for the events, stuff like that. And I was like, hey, I'm trying to do this a little more full time. I'm going to create a new server specifically for this, join it up. And then when I started, I was so excited. Every time we'd grow a little bit, I would update the server like every single week, like every single Sunday. I'm like, hey, this week we got this many new people joining the server. Thank you to all of you guys for joining. It was like every week was like 3 or 4 new people would join. We're so excited about it. And now the server's at like 2,000 people, constantly fluctuating with some new people coming in and out. And it's awesome to see the way it's grown. But yeah, just started out with a small little community, just kept on putting on events. And we did a good enough job where people would advocate us to their buddies, bring them in, and just slowly grew from there.
That's crazy. I know it's hard. It's difficult. I know a lot of people are trying to get into that space of hosting tournaments, especially online. How did you manage to run it so smoothly when you started out? I'm assuming you started with Madden, right?
Yeah. So I started out in Madden predominantly. And honestly, just making mistakes and learning from them. So I tried doing some events early on that like didn't take off because I didn't have the proper setup. I didn't have the perfect rule set. So I kind of learned to listen to the audience. So I would do a lot of stuff. Like before I'd launch events, I would reach out to some of like the best players that were in my community at the time. Like, hey, you have a lot of game knowledge. If I'm trying to do an event like this, what's the correct way for me to go about this? that's going to attract competitive players. Because I had a lot of my community when I first started out was like more casual players, which is perfectly fine. But if I'm trying to put on competitive events, that might not be my target audience for some of the stuff I'm trying to do. So I was really struggling to branch that gap between accommodating to casual players to accommodating to like competitive players, and then learning how to set up different events that can accommodate both. So I slowly started to learn that it's really important for me to stay in touch with what the heartbeat of the community is. So I just started joining more Discord so I could like just read through, just read chats and see what people were talking about in the game, see what the correct things need to be done. So like if a lot of people are talking about how they want a crew v crew event to be done, well, I'll go put the work in and get something set up. Or if people are talking about how a certain ability in the game is broken and should be banned, I'll go and make the decision to ban it in our events. So that way people are like, hey, Lobby Up's got the pre-lit X Factors, for example, banned in their events, play in their tournaments, because you don't have to deal with that cheese nonsense that's going on. So yeah, the key thing for us was just learning from our mistakes. And the most important thing was just listening to people, being humble and understanding that I know nothing. The players know everything. Listen to them and they'll show you the way.
Yeah. So you just happen to, or you just, you host these on Discord, I'm assuming, right? I mean,
yeah. So like you, we would set them up and organize them in Discord and then utilize different like tournament hosting sites to host the bracket and whatnot. But the main focus was getting people in the Discord, growing the community there, organizing it through there. And then they had any website. When we first started out, any website was just an additional tool. Recently we started working with some websites that have been super awesome and help us set up some really cool stuff through them, specifically built for our events. But yeah, to start out, websites were just like an extra tool. Discord was the main focus. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. Cause I, from my perspective, I think it'd be difficult to do a tournament on Discord, but people are starting to do them now. And I think that that's a great way to at least get the communication and the setup started there. So you've built the community now. So then you start Lobby Up, right? After you've kind of got the community figured out, you got your Madden, what you want to do, you've built Lobby Up. So from there, what do? You now have built Lobby Up. You have your community. Are you starting to focus on just Madden and hosting tournaments? You're branching out to other games and you're contacting sponsors. Because I know Lobby Up now probably looks a lot different than when you started.
Oh yeah, it looks much different now. When we first started, we just needed to grow. We needed to get our numbers up because it's hard to go out to sponsors and be like, hey, we've got 150 members in our community. That isn't a big turn for them, because if they get 1% of us, that means they get, I don't know, like two people to buy into their product that they're advertising. So need to get our numbers up, need to get more people in the community, for one, to like get it easier to get sponsors and stuff to help beef up our events and make them more special. And then two, get more players for us to put on events for, which is always a goal to keep growing our player base. Main objective was just to keep growing. So we just wanted to put on as many events as possible. And the easiest way for us to do that was stick to the game we had the biggest community for, which was Madden. When we first started out, we did a decent amount actually in NASCAR and iRacing. We had a little bit in iRacing, a little bit in like the NASCAR Heat 4 game or Heat 5. I think it was Heat 5. That game's been out for a long time now, so I think it was Heat 5. We had a couple events on there. Those committees weren't really big about playing for prizes. They more so just wanted to play events. So we kind of went away from that and kind of ended our stuff there. Some I'm looking to get back into in the future. But at the time, we just didn't have the bandwidth to do a lot, and like that committee wasn't super interested. So like, okay, we'll finish off what we have going on here and move on. And turned our focus predominantly to Madden. So started off doing like a little bit of racing games, a little bit of Madden, and then slowly, or actually it was pretty quickly, transitioned and realized we need to just focus on Madden, make that our main focus. And our focus has kind of stayed that way, where we've kept Lobby Ups like organic events all about Madden, and then just partnered with other event organizers and content creators that have like communities on FIFA and whatnot, and just kind of tapped in with them like, hey, we have the ability to add this to what you guys have going on. We approach them with that. We sit down and talk about, okay, this is the way we'll go about it. And we help bring each other more players across the fold, both directions. Because there's tons of people that play Madden that also love FIFA but didn't know about that. And there's tons of people that play FIFA that play Madden but didn't know about us. So just a basic example there.
Cross-marketing.
but yeah, just crossing it up and dividing up and getting our player bases intermingled. It was a great way to go about it, and also just helping each other make it easier to get sponsors, because we were able to beef up each other's player base and our actual what's the word I'm looking for? Just the overall number of eyes that are seeing our content everywhere, basically.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So that was what I'm gonna ask. So when you reach out to a content creator or your community, whether they want to host events or not, I guess what do you kind of bring for them? Like, what is it that you help them with that they need? Whether they need exposure, or sponsors,
Absolutely. So a lot of people want to put on events, but they don't have the ability to like organize and set up an event. Like, they want to broadcast the event. They're a content creator. They want to be creating the video content. They want someone else to be focused on organizing the bracket, handling bracket issues. They want someone else bringing in a sponsor, possibly. Maybe they have their own. Maybe they need help finding sponsors for an event. They have a vision but don't have the ability to execute it on their own. So it can help out with that. But that's more rare. A lot of times people are like, hey, I just want to do this. Help me create this. It's not really sponsor stuff. Like, we can do that. And we have done that, but that's more rare. So most of the time it's like, hey, I just want to create a stream of this. I know my community will be really excited about it. How can you help me get it done? And the way we get it done is help organize and set it up, help recruit, and then help with the execution so they can focus on content creation and creating some great video content out of the event that we partner up on.
Okay. So you can basically provide your all, basically like a, what is it? All in one shop, right?
Yeah. One stop shop. Yeah.
Yeah. One stop shop. If anybody wants to create an event or do a tournament or something, you handle everything from sponsor, marketing, recruiting, to organizing, to running the event for them. And then they can just pick what they need help with, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They want to be more hands-on helping with more stuff, they can. But usually we just have them give us the parameters of like what the vision is. And then we run with it, set it up. And those are always like my favorite events, because it's just people come to me with like a vision. And then, so people are so creative. They have these great ideas for stuff they want to do that I never would have thought of. I'm like, okay, I can create that. I can make that happen. Yeah, and then we go and do it, and I get to sit here, and while I'm running it, I have on my other screen their stream, watching their version of watching it, and seeing how excited they get about seeing their vision come to life with our help. It's my favorite thing. So yeah, I love doing those.
Yeah, and I know, talking to you in the past when I was wanting to run tournaments, a huge benefit that you were providing was the sponsorship. I think that's a huge benefit that a lot of people overlook, because that's one of the hardest parts in running an event is getting sponsorships. And I know you help with that, whether it's through your network of already known sponsors or reaching out to new ones, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Finding sponsors for esports events is so hard, because on one hand, like, every single company out there, like, the marketing team is trying to find a way to cater to our audience, this younger audience that is online all the time. But at the same time, there's so many people out there trying to do exactly what you and I are doing, and what a lot of the listeners to this podcast, I'm sure, are doing, is trying to put on events. Like, it's such a saturated market. Like, it's hard for them to place where to place their money, like who to bet on to bring them stuff. So, being able to articulately explain the perks of benefiting with our organization to like advertisers and sponsors is definitely a skill we've developed over time. When we first started, we definitely were struggling and got a lot of help from people like, hey, when you do this in the future, I'd really recommend including more information about this and stuff like that's been super helpful. And we've been able to learn. And with helping, like with people that come to us, like, hey, we want to put our event on through you. If you guys can partner with us, help us. An awesome thing is we've been able to help people skip this step of having to learn all those mistakes on their own. We can come to them like, hey, this is the template to follow. Let's put this together, and then send this out and help people learn on the way. So on top of helping people out, I think we're also educating them a little bit, like, hey, this is what a sponsorship slide deck should look like. Here's all the wickets that need to be hit. And that's definitely a huge part of it that people overlook, because it's hard to know exactly what the advertisers are looking for unless you have the experience. And it can take a lot of trial and error before you get dialed in. So that's another thing I like to try and do. And in the process of helping these people out is leaving them with as much knowledge as possible, so that way we can keep growing our community and making it easier for everybody to meet the marks that need to be met to keep growing their stuff.
Yeah, that's great, because I know a lot of people who've wanted to get into the space of hosting events, tournaments, esports, and they have nowhere to start. And so someone like me, I wish I'd met you before I even started, would have probably fast-tracked me a year and a half faster.
Exactly.
And you know, it took me so long to learn how to do this or do these events. And yeah, I should just reach out to someone like you that can handle everything and make it run smoothly. So that's great. And I'm assuming you're still taking on new like events and people so they can reach out to you. You
know, yeah, absolutely. Always. Yeah, always. We've got, we got some cool stuff. I actually just signed up today with someone. It's an organization that we're going to be working with. I suppose I could probably talk about it. I'll just tease it a little bit here. But we'll be working with Ancient World Gaming, a gaming organization set up by Austin Mack, the wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons. And then his former college player that he's buddies with, one of the two. They co-founded it. But it's a gaming organization. They started up. They're looking to get into the Madden space, and they wanted some help. And they saw all the stuff we were doing. Hey, looks like you guys are leaders in the community. How can you help us? We gave them a little roadmap to how we could help them, and they were all excited about it. We just signed a deal today, actually, to help them out. So we'll be putting out some cool new Madden events with them. And that's just a perfect example. Like, even them, like, they're not a small organization at all, but they still need help from someone who's kind of an expert in our niche department. So, it's awesome working with them. But on top of that, we also work with people of any, like, groups or organizers or content creators of any size. We've worked with people that have 20 followers on Twitch and they want to do a tournament. I'm like, hey, I've got a player base for this. I can make this work. You have a smaller viewership, so getting sponsors for it might not be on the table, but we can still create your vision and do something really cool with this. And every situation is going to be different, but I don't think we've ever left someone who came to us and put an event through us dissatisfied. I think everybody's always very happy that we meet the vision that they're wanting. And that's definitely something we pride ourselves on, because we want everybody that comes through us to be very satisfied and go tell their buddies, like, hey, you ever want to do a tournament, this is how I did it, you should go this way too. So that's always the goal. Send them home happy, send them home better than when we took them in, you know?
Yeah. So do you, I remember talking in the past, you do them online right now. You're trying to get into in-person events. Is that correct?
Yes. We're going to have our first live event actually at the end of March at the University of Oklahoma. We've been doing the live event qualifiers for that intermittently for all of this Madden season. So since September, we've got two left for the Lobby Upside, and then our partners Red Hot Gaming, or RHG as they're most commonly referred to, have a couple qualifiers left. Also, I think five qualifiers left. But yeah, we've got a massive event there, $30,000 in total prizes, all in person at the University of Oklahoma. So a great venue, also big football school. Big football event. We're coining it Madden Super Weekend with two massive tournaments. And then our host for it is Dubby and then Maze. So two of the biggest content creators in the space. Dubby, kind of the king of Madden Twitch. And then Maze, pretty big on Twitch, but also one of the biggest Madden YouTubers out there. So having both of them working with us has been a blessing. And I know the Madden community is super hyped about the event. And I'm excited to see how our field fills out, to see who all of our finalists will be that come to Oklahoma to play. But yeah, that'll be our first live event, and hoping to do more of them next year. This is kind of our trial this year. See how it goes, see how it feels, and then build off of it, learn from it, and go bigger and grander next year.
Yeah, that's awesome. So when you host these events online, and I'm assuming the person, do you have a team or is it just all you?
So yeah, I've got a couple of people that help me out. mostly, so a lot of stuff like for tournaments is usually myself. I got a couple guys that help me out here and there. Like David T, he's a pro player, but also helps out with RHG with running their events. Sometimes I'll task him to come and help me also. So he's a real one for that, helping on both sides. And then I got a couple guys also that are common helpers in like my leagues and stuff, like Outcast, Flag. Then there's a couple other guys that help occasionally, but those are the two that have been doing the most of it. So yeah, I've got a couple guys that help out with operations here and there, but a lot of it does fall on my shoulders, which is perfectly fine. That's why I took the time to do it full time, and I enjoy it. So that's the most important thing. I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't have passion for it, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. So the, I was listening to you. I forgot what I was going to ask, but, so what do you guys have planned for the rest of this year, as far as like, what are your goals, or what do you want to see Labia kind of do? What's your roadmap, I guess, for this year?
Yeah. So for the rest of this year, the biggest objective right now was to make this live event go off smoothly. So a lot of focus is going towards that. And then from here until the next Madden comes out, so August, is just to keep the Madden community alive, because it's a struggle with the Madden offseason. Because once the actual NFL season ends, the player base for Madden kind of starts to dwindle down, kind of gets revived a little bit around the rookie draft time, and then kind of falls off hard after that into the summer. So doing our best, just keep on putting events, keep the community going and happy, and start just planning for next year, basically. So there isn't anything crazy in the works for the summer for this year. Just putting on some regular routine events, keeping people interested in the game, keeping people giving people opportunities to compete, and just kind of put our ear to the ground and hear what people want us to do different for next year. After this live event is going to be a main focus also. You get a good idea of what adaptations we need to make for next year and start planning for what we're going to do next year. Because if we're doing this $30,000 live event this year, we got to do something bigger next year. So we got to figure out
what. So it's got to be bigger.
Like. Yep, bigger and better. It always has to be. Otherwise, what are we doing?
Yeah. So when that's funny you said that. I experienced that when I was hosting tournaments. When the NFL season's over, the player base just almost drops off during the summer. So you have to keep them active and keep them involved. Are you guys planning on doing like any sort of Madden 25 kickoff, like for the game and then
new, NFL season? That's what we've always do, is always go really hard right away and have some big events. We don't know any specifics of what we're going to do quite yet. But yeah, definitely when Madden 25 is dropping, we'll have something big. We also always do a cool farewell tourney. So like a final last tourney of the year, to send off the game. So like last year, we called the Madden 23 farewell tourney. So saying goodbye to the old game, like the day before the new one drops. So everybody gets on, plays it one last time. And then the next day everybody's on and grinding the new game. And we start putting on a bunch of events for that. And that's always the busiest time of the year and the funnest time of the year, because early on, everybody's learning the new mechanics. What's the new best playbooks? What's the new best schemes? Where the hot blitzes, all that, and everybody's learning at the same time. So the competitions right there at the start of the year are the funnest, because you just see such a variety of strategies, because everybody's just experimenting with everything. And people do that kind of all year too, but that's when it's definitely the biggest time for it. So definitely excited for that, but we're nowhere near done with Madden 24 yet. So we're excited for Madden 25, but we got so much more on the table for Madden 24. Between like express leagues, which will start up in the summertime. We're going to actually be doing kind of a stretch from here soon, but a lot of express leagues in the summer. So it's like our CFMs that go down in one day, and then just continue to put on our routine tournaments and whatnot.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I don't know. I thought Madden 24 this year was a pretty good game. Like, it's always got shortcomings, but I think this year they did a pretty good job on it.
Yeah, I so agree. Yeah, there's always like going to be some issues. Like, obviously, it's not a perfect game. There's certain games I play where I'm like, oh, that was a good game. And some games I get done playing and I want to rip my hair out. I'm like, I got so cheated. Why am I playing this game? But really, if you just sit and compare this game versus like the past couple of Maddens, it's definitely the best Madden they've made since they added like the next gen movement and stuff for those that play on the next gen consoles. So yeah, in that regard, it's definitely like one of the best Maddens they've made in recent years. Can't really speak on like anybody that's playing on PS4 or the Xbox One. I don't know how it plays on the old gen movement style and stuff. So I don't know if it's good or bad there, but I know for like next gen, with the next gen movement compared against the other games with the next gen movement. It's definitely the best one out there so far. So yeah. Best man we've had in a while. So hopefully they build off that next year, fix some of those issues we saw this year, and maybe we'll have the next best Madden again next year. If they're improving every year, that's the dream. So,
yep. So when you, I know you've built your own community, you've done that by just grinding and keeping everyone interacted. So how do you reach out to the bigger content creators then? Like you mentioned, you know, Debbie and some of the others, you know, when you reach out to them, is, you know, I guess, what is your strategy on something like that?
Yeah. So just really making them see the value in working with us, giving understanding of what we can bring to the table. So when we're talking with like a smaller content creator, it's pretty obvious that like, hey, what we bring to the table can really help you put on a special event. Sometimes you're coming to a bigger content creator, like they might have a bigger reach than we do. So it's really explained to them like, hey, here's how we can add value to what you're already doing and not take away from it. And yeah, it's a very tricky process because you don't want to overdo it. You don't want to underdo it. You got to find that perfect balance, but it's really just provide them the information of how you can provide them a service. And then very basically lay it out in the simplest terms possible, what that might look like, and then negotiate from there. We've been blessed and worked with some great guys that were super easy to talk with. They saw the vision right away. Some people are going to get the vision right away, and some people never will. So some people you'll talk to, like, yeah, that doesn't interest me. So be it. You just got to move on, find the next person. You'll find someone that matches your vision, and that's what you want anyways. You don't want someone that's working with you on a project that isn't invested and is going to be half-heartedly doing it. You want someone that's passionate about it, has the same vision and mindset as you towards it. So, yeah, we've got lucky to find people that match kind of our mindset and also understood the vision and have the same passions and values as we do.
Yeah, that's awesome. So have you had some like anything like any crazy content creators to hop on or any sort of crazy events that you've had that really stuck out to you?
Yeah, actually, there's a great example. This the summer towards the end of Madden 23, we did a tournament with Hall of Fame Gaming organization that's put together by Preston Smith and Deshaun Jackson are co-founders of that organization. We worked with them and put on a massive, like it was $1,000 Madden tournament with them. And we had Preston Smith, which I was super hyped about because I'm a Packers fan. I was born and raised in Wisconsin, so it's my birthright to be a Packers fan. I'm actually a Packers owner. When they did the stock sale 2 years ago or something, I bought for me and for my best friend. It was his Christmas gift. I got us a share of the Packers. So I'm technically an owner of the Green Bay Packers. But yeah, him being on there was awesome. And then we got Deshaun Jackson on there. And he's obviously like a future Hall of Famer, an absolute legend. And just we're chopping it up with them, talking about football while watching the tournament. It was a super fun tournament. It was like an absolute blast. And yeah, so that was definitely like my highlight. But we've also worked with some other NFL players. Like we worked with Derwin James running some CFMs for him. We did a tournament with Tariq Cohen. We also did a tournament with Corey Clement, the halfback. He was on the Eagles the year they won the Super Bowl. So yeah, Super Bowl champion. We had do a tournament with us, which was really awesome. That one was alongside Maze, actually. So it was Maze and him did it together because Corey wasn't super savvy on how to stream yet, was just trying to get into it. We were helping him get in and get started. So we had it hosted on Maze's stream and then had Corey come in as a special guest and then just told everybody, go follow Corey. He's going to start streaming. Go start watching his stuff. So that was a ton of fun. I'm trying to think if we had any other crazy ones. I feel like I'm probably forgetting a cool one that I should be remembering. But yeah, we've worked with a bunch of other big names in the community. Like we've got the stuff with RHG and Dubby. We've got our regular events that we do with Maze. We've done some stuff with KMAC, whether it's CFM. We did a TGL tourney for his organization towards the end of last year also. Tons of other creators we've done events with also, but those are some of the standout ones. I feel bad leaving out. I wish I could list all of them, but it's a long list.
Sure, yeah.
So those are some of the highlights for sure.
That's cool, man. I think, let me see, 32. We got a little bit more time, unless you have to go.
I'm good to keep chatting. Okay, having fun.
Yeah. I mean, anything you wanted to throw out there real quick, you know, anything that you felt like you wanted, that you kind of had wanted to promote or want to talk about?
Yeah, sure. I guess that would be a good time to thank some of the people that have kind of helped us some of the organizations that helped us make this year be as amazing as it was. Esports Agents, a site we've been running all of our events on. We rolled out something different this year and started the year out with like a subscription program where it started out and it kind of fluctuated a little bit as we needed to change it to make it work. But started out like $20 a month. You got access to like $6,500 in prizes and like 30 events. So it was like every single day we were doing tournaments. It was super hectic, super fun. But I was super busy with it, but I loved it. Like, I'd rather be busy than bored, you know?
Yeah.
So we were grinding out tons and tons of events. And then as the player base started to drop down later in the year, we had to kind of adapt it. And now that the player base is really starting to drop down, we ended up having to get rid of the subscription model and go to a different setup and stuff. But Esports Agent was awesome in helping us set that up and accommodating that. So a major thanks to them. Then another awesome sponsor we've had with us for a while, continue to work with them, and they're going to be a sponsor at our live event, is GameNetics, which is a custom controller company. We actually made a custom lobby up controller with them, so our community could get a custom lobby up controller, which is pretty awesome. Actually, I think I have it right down here. Maybe I'll grab it out here in a moment. We'll take a peek at it if you want, but it's super sick. They got a custom controller there. They're a sponsor for our live event, so super excited to have them on board for that. We'll see if we're able to get it done in time, because it takes a while, I understand, but we're trying to get some custom, like, University of Oklahoma themed controllers to have at the live event from them to kind of just demonstrate their versatility and what they can do through their site. But yeah, we love having them as a partner. Them making our own custom controller was like a dream come true for me, seeing my logo on a controller like that. It was pretty surreal. That's cool. So it was pretty awesome. And then also our partners, one of our most important ones I got to make sure I thank is like RHG, who are helping put the event on. So Blake Mullen, the owner of that, and the rest of their team, definitely love working alongside them and appreciate all the stuff they do for us. And I know we do a lot for them too, but take this opportunity to thank them because they've done a lot for us and really appreciate them. And biggest thanks, of course, goes to our community though. So shout out to them as well. If any of them end up tuning in and watching this, shout out to them. Without them, this wouldn't be possible at all. So, that's what I want to promote the most is community. Shout out to them.
Yep. So for people, you know, whether it's in the exact same space that you're doing or something similar, I guess, you know, what kind of recommendations or suggestions or words of wisdom you would have for anyone that's wanting to get into this space?
Yeah, absolutely. Something I struggled with a lot early on is I wanted to give up multiple times. There was a lot of times when I was like thinking about what I wanted to do with Lobby Up, and I wanted to be new and unique. And I kept on seeing things pop up of like bigger organizations that were doing like similar stuff to what I was doing. I was like, well, these guys already have me beat. What am I even doing? Why am I doing this? And then that's when I kind of found my focus and felt like, hey, focus on my lane, find my thing and just get that perfected and grow from there. And that's how I kind of found my peace with it and found my path. So, my big advice would be don't give up. There's going to be some roadblocks. Stuff's going to happen. Don't sit there and be worried about the stuff you can't control. Just find a solution, keep it moving. And then another important piece of it is find your lane, find your thing that you can make yours. Because a lot of people out there doing different stuff, try and make it unique. And if you can't make it perfectly unique, find your wrinkle, find some way to make it your own and stand out.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think everyone's doing something. If you're going to get into that space, just do something that you like, that you enjoy, that you're
That's another thing. You have to be passionate about it. 100%. Yep. That's one thing I missed. 100%. You have to be passionate about it. If you're not passionate about it, it's not going to work. Like this is a difficult task. A lot of times being an event organizer is a thankless task. So you have to have a lot of passion to stay motivated and keep on pushing forward. And you hit a lot of these roadblocks and struggles that come with this, burden, but at the same time blessing, but it is a heavy task to be tasked with. So got to have passion or you're going to struggle for sure.
Yep, I agree. I guess moving towards the end now, us being gamers, just for everyone to kind of get to know who you are, what are some of, I guess, the top three games you would say are your favorite of all time?
Top three games of all time? So Madden's my go-to, but if I had to pick like a specific Madden, I'd go with the OG Madden. The first one that I really played like hardcore was like Madden 08. I think that's the one that had Vince Young on the cover from the Titans. I played that for like 5 or 6 years because I was a kid and I didn't like, now I have to buy the new Madden every year because like competitions and stuff. But like,
yeah,
when I was a kid, like I wasn't old enough to be playing in competitions and stuff. And me and my buddies didn't care which Madden it was. We would just load up any Madden and play. So Madden 08 was like the only Madden I had for forever. So I play that one a ton. So that's my like all-time favorite. I also love like another franchise I love is like the MX versus ATV series. Used to race dirt bikes myself. I have a family of racers as well. So those video games I've always loved. So I like playing like the Monster Energy Supercross games that they have now. But the OG is still MX versus ATV. That's the OG. And then I don't know for a third, and maybe it's recency bias, but I've actually been loving Fortnite recently. I've been playing it with my girlfriend actually, because it's a game where you can kind of chill out and play it with whoever and have fun and not take it so seriously. So a little bit of recency bias there, but Fortnite's been killing it lately.
Yeah, I think they've created a new, I guess, standard for games as a service now, because I start to see other games kind of taking their same strategy.
Yeah, the free to play but have microtransactions that are not at all related to winning the game. It's all just character model, dance, stuff. Like if you want to buy it, you can, but it in no way is necessary, which is very different than Madden, because obviously Madden, like you've got all these packs and players, and in order to build like a good Mutt team, you have to invest a decent amount of money or a lot of time. Games like that, it's not the case at all. Any money you want to spend is completely up to you. And that's a great model that is like, there's no way for people to be upset with that. Like you literally do not have to spend any money, but I still end up spending money because they drop skins that are absolute gas. Like, like a Jack Skellington one. And I'm a huge fan. I have a Jack Skellington tattoo on my thigh. So
when
they drop skins, like, that's a must cop. I got to go get that immediately.
Yeah. I wish more games would start to do that. Collaborate with other brands. I think that's a great way to get more people involved, because if I see a brand that I really like or an IP or some sort of something that is interesting, I would spend money on it in the game versus something that they create that is just generic.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I wish more games would do that. But also Fortnite is doing the or is it user created maps?
They have a creator mode where you can like create your own like game mode or create your own like level or tons and tons of stuff. They have like escape rooms and like mini golf, like just crazy stuff. That game is
I think that's super crazy.
Where it's like turning into like a sandbox game where you can do anything. So it's definitely a cool game. It's a game I want to start getting us into also. So you asked about like future plans and stuff. We also want to start putting on more events and other games. Stuff like that has a massive player base that we can get really creative with. So our focus has been Madden, but we're at a point now where we've got that pretty dialed in. I think we've got our system pretty much perfected. So it's time for us to start branching out, finding some more stuff. That's definitely a space we want to get into.
So I guess real quick, is that easy for you guys to bring on a new game? Like, let's say you haven't done Call of Duty, right? Or I don't know if you have or not, but if somebody came to you and wanted to do it, is that something that you can pretty easily run?
Yes. Well, Call of Duty, we actually have done some stuff with Call of Duty. We worked pretty closely previously with AWL, so Amateur World League, and they've done some LAN events and stuff now. But back when they were doing their online league, we were working with them a lot. So have a little bit of experience with Call of Duty. When we first started with them, because this kind of more so ties into your original question, we hadn't done any COD events before working with them. And our adaptation was pretty fast because we already had learned the key lessons, which transfer over to any game, which is talk to the players first, figure out what right looks like, and then go from there. So we just use that same principle. We did a lot of asking around to the players that we knew would be interested in playing, like, hey, we're trying to do this league. What should the league rules be? What's a good setup? What do you guys like? What don't you like? Came to them with ideas, let them tell us what they wanted. And so if we were doing that with another title, we'd do a similar process. We'd go and find the correct creators to help us bring in players, because that's a key aspect. You can't have an event if you don't have competitors. So finding the correct people to align ourselves with there, and then talking with the players of that community and figuring out what they want, and then providing that service.
Okay, so that's good to know. Somebody is reaching out and doesn't see your game their game that they want to host listed, they can just still bring it
up
to you.
We'll host something on anything. We have the skill set to do it. We have stuff that we primarily do. But if someone comes to me like, hey, I want a Street Fighter tournament, like 100%, I can do that. Just takes me a little bit to go look up like what the appropriate rule set should be, what a proper tournament setup should be, like what people usually do, what people like, what people don't like. And then also talk to the person we're partnering with, like what's their vision, and combine all those things to create a beautiful product.
And is it only console or you guys do PC too?
Anything.
Okay.
PC, Nintendo, Atari. No, I'm just kidding. At least, I don't know. They've got the ability to what's it called? Like backwards compatible, some of these old games. I don't know how far they can go with some of this stuff and make them online playable, but they should. Having some old school games, like tournaments would be absolutely sick. Like some OG Smash tournaments would be gas.
Yep. Well, thank you, Shorzy. I don't know if there's anything. I think we covered a lot. I think you gave us some great information, some great insights onto not only your brand, but into that side of the industry on, you know, event hosting, basically doing everything for anyone that wants to host anything. Any final thoughts or anything you want to leave us with? Or
Nothing crazy I want to drop at the end. Just thank you. I appreciate you bringing me in and giving me an opportunity to kind of talk about awesome what we're about, give some insight into my experiences and kind of my thoughts on some of the ways that the community works that we're all involved in here. And I guess just a final note would be anybody out there who's looking to try and put on events and needs help, come to us. And also if you're trying to get into a spot we're at working with, you can come to work with us and we can also give you a ton of insight on stuff that we're talking about today and try and help you out. And like you said, like you wish you would have had someone like us to come and talk to before you got started, could have really fast tracked you. And instead of having to learn from your own mistakes, we could have taught you the mistakes we made, help you skip a couple steps and hit the ground running instead of having to start out in slow mode and go through the tutorial process of
but hosting in person, it feels like it takes forever to learn and implement.
It's a learning process no matter what you're doing. And we've done a lot of learning, so let us help you.
Yeah, so everyone, I'll say it again. Everyone can follow you guys, reach out to you, Lobby Up. Website, Discord, all your socials, everything's Lobby Up.
Yeah, so Lobby Up or Lobby Up Esports. I think most of it's listed as Lobby Up Esports. I think if you do just Lobby Up, it's like some like congressional lobbyist site or something. Yeah. So Lobby Up Esports.
Yeah, so feel free to reach out to them. I've reached out to you in the past when I was doing my events, and you were super helpful. You were welcoming, so if you're thinking about it, I also have some other event hosts that I probably will send your way.
Even if people just have a simple question, we're more than happy to help. Ideally, we jump in and help you like make your events happen. But also, if you just have a simple question like, hey, do you have some advice about how to go about X, Y, or Z? More than happy to take some time and help people out because I want to see our community keep growing. It's our community, like number of like gamers are continuing to grow. So the number of event organizers needs to continue to grow also. So gotta do my part to help grow that. And I'm happy to share my knowledge with anybody who asks. So yeah, feel free. DMs are always open and I'm happy to help.
Okay. And thank you so much for being on. I'll plan on having you on in the future again. We'll do like a follow-up towards the maybe middle or end of the year, kind of see how everything's been going, how your live event went.
Yeah, absolutely.
But thank you so much. We'll go ahead and end this. You can stay on afterwards, but also thank you everyone for listening. You can feel free to leave any comments on the podcast for anything you want to hear next time, or if you have any questions for them, you can reach out to them. I'm Lamar again with 528 Esports on Behind the Game podcast. Thank you, Gabe, for being on tonight. We'll go ahead and cut it.
Thank you.